Buckle up, Buttercup. Live from Gloucester, Massachusetts, podcasting around the world.
Around the world.
You're listening to the GloucesterCast Podcast, a production of Joey Shimataro and Good Morning Gloucester Media. Kick back, relax, and enjoy the show with your hosts, Joey Shimataro and his crew of merry castaways. No piping plovers will be intentionally harmed in the production of this podcast.
Where'd he go? Where'd you go? Where are you going on me? Don't leave me. Don't leave me. Here you go. I'll bring him back on. Enrico Palazzo. Oh, very good. Very good. Well, here we are. It's GloucesterCast. I have it listed wrong in the graphics because I didn't update the graphics from yesterday. But it's GloucesterCast 458. We're with Eric Lorden from Passports and Machaca fame. We have that going for us. And, where'd you go on me? Don't leave me. Where'd you go, buddy? Where is he? Come back. Come back, Eric. Don't do that to me. Anyway. Publish. Publish. I don't know where he went. Anyway, hi, guys. How you doing? Maybe Eric will come back and join us. It is Monday, January 4th, coming to you live from the basement once again. And Tony Mondello is with us. Hi, Tony. I like it when people chat, give us the chat. I got the little chat set up in the sidebar right there, if you notice, which I like a lot. I don't know what happened to Eric, though. He left me. I was going to talk about all the new stuff happening at Machaca and Passports. I don't know what's going on with him. It's terrible. Patriot season is over, done, kaput. And for all the ribbing I gave our friend Craig Kimberly about the Steelers sucking, they're in the playoffs and we're not. Let me see. Where are you, buddy? Oops. Eric just texted me. Where are you? So, from behind the scenes, Craig was going to join us, and now he's not here. So I wanted to face the music, talk a little bit about the Patriots and the lack of hope for the Patriots currently the way it is, and talk about my bread experience this morning, and I wanted to give a shout out. Eric says he has issues. All right, I'm going to tell him to just reboot. Reboot your device. And it should all work. Restart. And hit the same. All right, there you go. He should be joining us momentarily. I think he had some connectivity problems. But we had a great podcast. I really thought that Barry Hanrahan was a great guest. And let's see. Oh, any? I think we're live right now. Let me just make sure we have. Yep. All right. There we go. Cold weather. I don't like it. Who wants to be here? Who the hell wants to be here in the cold weather? Who are the freaks? Who are these psychopaths that say, I wish it was snowing out? Who are these people? Where do they come from? I don't understand. Tell me what's good about being cold. It's not my thing. I want to be in the warmth. I want to be cozy. I want to have a cold drink in my hand because I'm too hot to. Oh, There he is. He's popping back on. Let's go, buddy. You can do it. I can see his signal strength is not great. Rob Kluwer is with us. Brendan Grimes Davis is with us. Yeah, crackpots. Brendan Grimes Davis. Crackpots are the people that like cold weather. Not normal, rational human beings. There he is. All right, we're bringing. There you are. You got it figured out? I think he's got to turn his. You got to turn your speaker on. Oh yeah. You there? He look good. You got to get the audio going now. What is he eating? He's just stuffing his face. This is interesting content right here. When a guy just stuffing his face. hello, Tracy Perkins, former G-Town resident. Hello, Brenda Grimes. Hello, Rob Kluwer, Tony Mondello, Chuck Shoebridge. There's another guy that understands that only psychopaths like the cold. No normal human being likes the cold. I wanted to ask you guys a question. If anybody has gone to the igloos at Mile Marker yet. We're planning to go there, I think, Thursday. We're going to live podcast Thursday. I want to get some feedback. I think D Noble went. I don't know about anybody else. So there's that. Scotty Mac. What happened to Eric? I think he might have fell down. I got a blank screen next to me here. I feel like he just like, there he is. Buddy, look at the cog. There's a little cog on the screen that you hit that and that'll be your audio input. I don't know what it is. Look at that. Look at that side view right there. That's very attractive. Do you see the little cog on the options down below? Oh my goodness. Oh, you just turned on the laptop. There you go. Yeah, well, hit the, there's a little cog underneath where it shows us, and that little cog will have your settings, and you select your audio input from there. My goodness gracious, help me, Jesus. I'm dying to hear about the new things happening at Passports and what his plans are for Machaca with the restrictions and everything. I also want to know how New Year's Eve went. The best thing to do when we have these situations, I forget it myself sometimes, is you just reboot the whole thing. I don't know if you can hear or not. Look at that. That is a specimen. It's a specimen. Oh, I know what I can do. I can take a picture of the where the cog would be. All right, here we go. This is what I'm going to do. All right, Eric. I'm going to do this for you. All right. And then I'm going to do this. Now I'm going to go like this. Is it going to focus that close? Eric, right here underneath the screen, that's the little cog you have to hit. I don't know if he's still there or not. Aye, aye, aye. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know where he went. It's just going to be me. He's just stuck with me. I just got my dermatology. Thank you, Alyssa. I think he's got the audio now. You got it?
I get it.
Ah, victory. The legend. So let's talk about the restaurant business.
Okay.
Well, give me the status, latest status of passports and Machaca.
We're holding our own.
Yeah.
I guess that's the short answer.
Is one doing better than the other?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. Machaca has more customers, but the overhead's a little higher. At the end of the day, you know, it's pretty much the same. Yeah, we're pretty much in break even stage.
So you're keeping your employees going right now. Is that the mindset?
Oh yeah, we got every. I mean, at Passports, my employees could use more hours. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the, you know, it takes a certain amount of people to run whatever restaurant you're running, you know. Yeah. So as of, I don't know, probably November 1st, I've been going in just about every morning, and then I don't have anyone else come in until 11:45, you know, when we open up.
Wow.
Whereas, you know, Machaca, even though they're doing more people, you know, they have people going in at noon, and we don't start churning any money out of there till 4:30 when we open.
Wow.
Thanks. So they're doing more business, but at the end of the day, it's the, you know, they're both, you know, we're doing all right. We're doing all right.
You're holding your own.
Holding our own.
How confident are you in keeping both restaurants going through the winter?
I don't know. I mean,
scale 1 to 10. I mean, if you had to put a number on it.
Scale of 1 to 10?
Yeah.
Well, for it's kind of hard to say because, you know, I've been in touch with you know, my banker about the, you know, new PPP program that's coming out.
Yeah.
And what the details of that are. So the law, you know, the short answer again is you have to be down more than 25% of your sales from 2019. Mm-hmm. Most restaurants are, especially sit down, takeout, maybe not, but I certainly am.
Yeah.
And you have to have used all of the PPP money before that you got for payroll or other expenses that are, you know, that are deemed acceptable.
Yeah.
So it depends, you know, I mean, if the feds actually do fund it, because, you know, as far as this morning, the actual regulations for reapplying have not been given to the bank yet.
I get you.
So it'd probably be a couple weeks, you know, before, you know, they get around to it. And then, you know, I would assume that I would qualify because, you know, you're able to write off rent and utilities and stuff like that. But, you know, we use 100% payroll dollars to go right back to people working.
I gotcha.
So, you know, it is what it is.
Have you altered the menu at all?
Not really. You know, I brought you over the pizza thing that I was thinking about doing and stuff like that. And, you know, the outlay of cash, you know, would probably be about 10 grand.
Hello.
And then after you get done with the 10 grand, then you're kind of setting yourself up to do that, you know, kind of business. You know, I mean, Passports was never set up to be a business. Machaca is set up to be takeout, you know, which is why, you know, it's still doing the numbers that it's doing. But it was also set up to have bands and be open late night, which obviously we can't. So,
yeah. Can you hear me right now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure my mic didn't go out. Yeah, no, it's scary times. But now how do you feel about, with so many restaurants calling it a day for the winter, do you think that have we hit a sustainable number based on, you know, Tonto not being open, Franklin not being open, the one on the boulevard not being open? not the Boulevard, the one on the Yellow not being open, the one on the Rotary. I forget the name of that place.
Well, it's funny. I just went to Prince Insurance to, renew my van insurance, for going to the market and stuff.
Yeah.
They're always, I go there because they're super helpful. But anyway, Wendy said that she hasn't been out in, maybe once in 6 months. So
there's a lot of people like that.
It certainly helps to have everybody closed, but it seems that none of us would be even breaking even if we were all still open.
Oh yeah, it would be a cannibal city.
Right. And people that have huge overhead, no matter what they were doing, there are nights in Gloucester in the winter during regular times where you could be given away gold plated filet mignons for a dollar and you still would only get five people.
Yep.
That's just the nature of, Gloucester in the winter.
Oh, no question. Yeah.
People with time and means, would rather be sitting down in Naples in a beach chair with a six pack of Bud Light.
I like that idea.
I know. That.
We talked about that earlier. Yeah. No question about it. My goodness. How sad are you? Did you do it without me knowing? Did you do the polar plunge on New Year's Day?
I did not.
Yeah.
I saw Jamie Faria in a Cheez-It outfit though at Machaca having a margarita on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, he's been doing it right along, I think, that guy. Hold on, I'm gonna bring Jimmy Dalpiaz in too. Hey Jimmy.
Hey, hi guys.
How you doing, pal? Jimmy, can you hear me?
I'm working on it.
Okay. Well, I can hear you fine. You look good, Jim. Jim, he's handsome. Doug, Eric, did you watch Patriots at all yesterday?
I was on Red Zone.
Oh, were you? Are you in a fantasy league?
I am. I did not. The guys that I have been doing the pool with for many, many years didn't do it this year.
I got you. Yeah. So, what do you think about? What do you think about next? Cam is probably not going to be back. Here's a question. Ready? Do you think that the Patriots should target a college player out of the draft within the first two or three picks?
Yes.
Or do you think that they should get a veteran quarterback or, a quarterback that has been proven through trade?
No veterans.
Or I would say C, both.
Yeah, or both. I mean, it depends on who you could get. I think people have been talking about Garoppolo coming this way. And, he's damaged goods now.
Fragile.
Who's Fragile?
Garoppolo is Fragile.
Oh,
he's,
yeah?
He's injured all the time.
Oh, Fragile. He's fragile. Yeah. yeah, he is Fragile. I'll tell you this. I did watch the Alabama game the other day, and I love the SEC. You could make an argument that there's a better division of any kind of football that could be argued. The SEC brings it all the time. Even their worst teams are better than the best teams in other divisions. But anyway, they had a running back that hurdled a guy that was 6'4". I don't know if you saw that on a replay.
I didn't see it, no.
So he kind of looks like Herschel Walker as far as his legs are just tree trunks. Not quite Earl Campbell, but huge. So he's making a run down the right side of the field, and a safety or a back that they had who's really good made an unbelievable play, maybe a minute before, goes to tackle him at the waist, and the guy literally hurdled him.
Oh, I did see that. And not only did he hurdle him, he cleared him. He didn't. It wasn't even like he probably had 3 inches between his ball sack and the guy's helmet.
Yeah, he actually put his hand. He put his hand on his balls to protect him from a helmet.
So here's the devil's advocate between the SEC quarterback and something else. So I heard this argument, and I don't know what to make of it, but I'm going to ask your both of your opinions on it. Someone said, so Tua Tagovailoa, the guy that ended up from Alabama that went to Miami, he has turned out to be a bust. And a lot of people are saying, like the analysts are saying, that the reason that the SEC quarterbacks are so great is because they get the best wide receivers in the country, so they make them look better than they actually are. How much, what percentage of do you put in of stock do you put into that?
Probably 50%.
Right? So
you take Murray. Take Murray from Arizona, for example.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's already beat up. He got his ribs cracked 2 weeks ago, and then looked like he injured his ankle yesterday. But that's a tiny, you know, he's a small quarterback, you know, and, you know, running is part of their game. You know, look at Tannehill, you know, yesterday. Do you know that Red Zone said that was the most touchdowns that were ever scored in a single day? 96 touchdowns yesterday before the late game.
Wow. Wow.
You know, but Tannehill doing that, you know, doing that fake to Henry and then running left, it's almost undefendable.
Yeah. Derrick Henry. Okay. You're going to start a team with one. Oh, wait, Jimmy. I'm going to let Jimmy answer the question before about the SEC quarterback.
Well, basically, I agree with you. I think it is quality wide receivers. The wide receivers that made it to the NFL, I think they're still going. So I'm going with you, Joey. I would go more than 50%. I'm not going to go as high as 75, but yeah, I'll go 60-40.
It's part of it. Can you adjust your camera so that you're in the frame, Jim? Can you look at the screen and adjust your camera? Yeah.
Am I cute?
Are you looking at the screen, Jim?
I'm looking at the screen. Are you looking at? Oh no, I'm frozen right now. That's the.
Oh, okay. Because we can hear you, but half of your face is in the picture.
I know. I'm frozen. You're frozen, Eric. You look beautiful, frozen.
Half is look.
Yeah, it's my best side.
Okay. Here's a question for you. Here's a question for you. Who would you take? What running back in the NFL would you start a team with right now? Derrick Henry or Alvin Kamara?
Derrick Henry. And I'm going to go out and come back to fix my frozen face.
Okay.
I think I'd take Kamara.
I would take Kamara.
Yeah. Henry to me is it's amazing that he's, you know, that he's as good as he is. He doesn't really have any speed until 5 to 8 yards downfield. When he motors through that line, he seems like he comes off the ball kind of slow to me. And then he's just such a beast. He just runs right through people. No one's arm tackling that guy. You know, whereas Kamara seems to have more lightning speed. I don't know.
But Kamara has the hands as well. You know, he can catch the ball catches the ball out of the backfield as well.
He kind you of hey, Joe.
Oh no, it's geez, the connection issues. I think I got you. I got you fine. You both look good. Can you hear me, Jimmy? Can you hear me? I don't know. I don't know what's happening with Jimmy.
Okay, I can hear the both of you, but I'm still frozen. So you guys are going to have to look at half my face.
Yeah. All right. No problem, Jimmy. No problem. Jimmy, what did you think? What did you think, Jimmy, between the two running backs, who would you take? Alvin Derek Kamara? Henry. And okay. Well, and for what reasons?
Derrick Henry, because he's more of a beast mode. I know they don't pass to him, but I think that teams are needing that beast mode to open up the passing game and the other, the other aspect of the game. So He's just, Harris not a beast. He's just good. You give him the ball, he's good, but he's not a beast.
Kamara's more like Barry Sanders.
He's finesse.
He's shifty.
Kamara's finesse that knows how to hang on to the ball.
And he hits the hole, and he seems to be able to elude tacklers like pretty, you know, five touchdowns. He could have had six last week. It was pretty outstanding.
He's probably smarter. I mean, he knows how to see the hole. He knows how to
better vision
train his body to get through the hole. He's also in the wide, you know, in the receiver. He kind of scans things. So he's finesse. He's smart. I'm not saying that Derek isn't, but when you're beast mode, I don't care if you're in my way. I'm going to run over you. I'm going to go right through you.
Jimmy, have you talked to any of your baseball contacts about if they think they're going to have fans in the stands next season?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I'm starting to contact them again because they've just realigned many of the teams. Like the New York Mets have just realigned many the minor league. So my contacts right now are trying to figure out what job they're going to have. And I'm giving it a little time because February is when they have to report the all the coaches and all my contacts. So I'm just giving it a little time to get through the new year so they can figure out what they're doing. And then I'm going to contact them and go from there. But I think they're going to have fans in the stands because, you know, they're going to cut it down like everybody else. So they're going to allow so many people in. And I think they're going to.
Like a 25% deal or something?
Right. Well, you know, like down in Florida, spring training games are the minor league stadiums, which are really open. So I can see them just maybe cutting out the tiki bar that where a lot of guys go to and spend all the time out there. They might also close up the outfield where they call it, I'm forgetting what they call the berm, where almost every team has a berm where you can sit out there and they have their own bar. So you can go out there and grab things and just sit on a blanket.
What about the regular season though? Do you think they're going to have fans for the regular season?
Yes. Yes, I do. Mainly because I won that option to go on the Boston and I won that contest that I can go to a Boston game. As you know, we talked about it and he's been contacting us and he's a season ticket holder. And he says, hey, I've been getting reports. This is going to happen. What he doesn't know is what season ticket holder is going to be allowed in for so much. He hasn't gotten that information yet. Just because you're a season ticket holder doesn't mean you're allowed to go to every game.
Eric, we've been jonesing to get to a hockey game. Do you know anything about fans in the stands for hockey? Have you heard anything?
No, haven't heard anything.
No.
All I know is that the season's going to start, thank God.
Yeah, no, yeah. Hockey.
I mean, look how late that is. I mean, that's 4 months late, right? October, November, December, January. It usually starts September 12th, and this year it's starting January 12th.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. But I'm glad we got it. I'm really glad we got it.
I don't know how they're going to continue to play hockey unless they go back up to Canada in July, you know?
I read something today that the NCAA tournament – for basketball is going to be 100% held in the city of Indianapolis. They're going to host the whole tournament. So they're going to have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that would, well, once again, they're all looking how the NBA did it and went through it. So they're all kind of using that as the guidelines. I think that's what a lot of people are doing. They're using guidelines, watching how some other sport is doing it. And somebody sitting in the room saying, hey, why can't we do it?
Yeah. Who are you guys rooting for? Who do you want to go to the Super Bowl for the AFC and NFC? And who do you want to win? I'll start with Eric.
I don't know. I think I'm going with New Orleans in the NFC.
You want to or think we'll go?
No.
Give me two different scenarios. Who you want to go and who you think is going to go.
I mean, if they get Kamara back, you know, I'll take New Orleans all the way.
That you think is going to go and you think and want to go or just want to go?
Yeah, I don't want to see Brady go.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't think I mean he has the team. I mean, you know, Tampa Bay has as much a shot as anybody, but you know.
I think that with Antonio Brown now, I think that was the one more piece of the like undefendable field. You know what I mean? You have the tight end that has to be they have to pay attention. They have like two or three wide receivers that you have to pay attention to. You have a running back that they have to pay attention to. So the defenses are just spread too thin to be able, you know, before Antonio Brown, you have like five elite offensive players on the field at the same time. It's kind of bananas, really.
Yeah, but once it gets in the playoffs, they'll start blitzing Brady. You know,
he's smart enough to pick up the blitz, though, right?
He is. But everybody who's beat him before, that's what they do. They just continually blitz him.
And if it goes to the way the seedings are, and the number one seeds win out, then the second week they would have to face Green Bay in Green Bay.
Yeah. Did Washington win last night or the Giants?
They did.
Yeah, so he's got a pretty easy game, first round.
Yep.
You know, after that, I don't know. I don't really know AFC wise. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing Phillip Rivers go the distance.
Yep.
You know, I'm not sure, but you know, Pittsburgh losing to Cleveland, and now they got to play him again. You know, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, but Pittsburgh didn't play Roethlisberger, right?
No,
they didn't play a bunch of guys.
No,
they didn't play a bunch of and so I mean, I don't know if that's a true. Yeah. I mean, any given Sunday, but I think if by squeaking out a win when you're sitting your starting quarterback, I don't know if it's a testament to like they have to play. I think if you had to pick any team out of everybody that's in the playoffs, I'm guessing that Cleveland would be your number one pick that you'd want to go up against.
Right, and everybody's got to go through KC.
Yeah, yeah. So KC is your AFC. Jimmy, I want two different answers for each one. Who do you think is going to go from the NFC, and who do you want to win? And the same for the AFC.
Okay, I think Green Bay is going to go, and I think right now they're just really streaking. They're hot, and I think they're figuring it out. The defense is starting to rise up to what the offense is putting out. So I would say definitely Green Bay is going to go. And I'm sorry, but I'm sticking Green Bay on both. I want Green Bay to go. As far as the AFC, I think Kansas City, that's smart coaching. They're going to figure out a lot. They're going to go. I won't lie. I like to see. You got a good point with Indy. You know, he's trying hard. He's working hard. You know, he's one of those guys that he rolled up his sleeves to make it work. So, you know, I got to go with the guy that rolls up his sleeves, shows up every day and fires up the team and everything. So I'd like to see Indy go, but I'm going to say it's Green Bay and Kansas City, and that's going to be a shootout to figure out who's going to beat each other up.
I've gone back and forth over the last 4 weeks of not wanting Brady to go, wanting Brady to go, not wanting Brady to go, and wanting Brady to go. I have such mixed emotions about it. The number one reason why for in the don't want him to go camp is I don't want to hear from the Boston sports media that like have to listen to an argument that Belichick sucks and the only reason that they won was because of Brady. I don't want to hear that argument. I think it's garbage. So I'm just that's my selfish reason for not wanting Brady to go. But now, and I hate Antonio Brown and what he did here. It's just so hard to root. I just can't imagine rooting for them. I wouldn't mind seeing Drew Brees. I wouldn't mind seeing New Orleans go from the NFC, and not Aaron Rodgers. It's funny because I'm rooting against Brady to win, but at the same time, I don't want Aaron Rodgers to win because I don't want Aaron Rodgers' legacy to be like to them to start. Anybody that they can say is a better quarterback, or, you know, well, than Brady, I defend. Like, I don't want that. I don't want to see good things for Patrick Mahomes. I don't want to see good things for Aaron Rodgers. It's just, it's a twisted world.
Joe, I'm going to jump in for a second. The Aaron Rodgers, the only reason why I'm going with him is that he's doing it for nobody but Aaron Rodgers. He wants the bigger contract. He wants to basically sell himself. And he's not as diehard Green Bay as everyone thinks he is. So therefore, because of that, I think he's going to definitely work as hard as he can to prove to everybody what he can do. That's like one of those things. And I really think he's going to succeed in proving a lot of people just for Aaron Rodgers. That's what he wants to do.
Well, I think anybody at that level is competing as hard as they possibly can. So I'm not buying into that. But I do think that like a warm weather team like Tampa Bay to go into Green Bay, depending on how cold it is, if it's, you know, if it's unseasonably warm and it's 40 degrees, I don't think it's going to be a factor. But if it's, you know, how it can be in Lambeau, those teams, your blood thins out in the heat. It definitely thins out, right? And you go up there and you have to play in the Lambeau. Those guys, I don't care what you say, it's, the ones that train in the cold have a leg up on the ones that train consistently in the warm. Look at like how many years it took for Indianapolis playing in a dome to come to New England to try to win, you know, and when it mattered, you know.
You know, Lambeau's got grass too.
Yeah, no timing patterns. Yeah, but that's not bad for Brady. Brady can do it. I don't know about his cast of characters. You know, it's those wide receivers. Are they loose enough to be able to do well? I don't know.
The game better when everybody's uniform has dirt and grass ground into it.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
The guys coming up with their face masks with a beard of grass.
There's really nothing.
Soldier Field in Chicago.
Wait, here's a question now. Here's the question. What is better? Playoff football, playoff baseball, playoff hockey?
I love them all. I mean, we saw the best.
Let me qualify it. Let me qualify it. Your team is not in it, which is best.
I mean, I like hockey better.
Jimmy, what about you?
Well, I'm the baseball guy, but I agree. Hockey, playoff hockey is, you know, because I think it's more smash mouth and it's more, someone's going to win and, you know, they come up with all the bruises and bangs.
My team isn't in it. I'm going NFL. I could watch the worst two NFL teams play together all day long. My team is in it. Definitely hockey. Definitely.
I like the amount of playoff games and series that you have in hockey. Even if you don't start watching until the second round, you know, you've got a lot of entertainment spaced over, you know, 6 or 8 weeks of pretty serious beatdown.
I don't know enough of the storylines. I don't follow enough hockey to know the storylines. Like I follow football, you know.
It's a lot easier to keep track of football too.
Yeah. Oh, I hear you. Chris Thompson says hockey. Let's go Bees, and playoff hockey is great. And he also says KC versus Tampa. Tampa 31, Kansas City 24. I would if believe me, if it ends up being Brady versus, you know, Tampa Bay versus Kansas City, I'm all in on Tampa Bay. Here's another question. If Tom Brady didn't have any of his Super Bowls, okay, who would you, you're starting out a team with a 25-year-old Patrick Mahomes and a 25-year-old Tom Brady, which one do you take?
I go Mahomes.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, that's That's a pretty tough question, but I think Mahomes may end up, as long as he stays healthy, and if he can play till he's 43, you know, there's no reason why he shouldn't overtake Brady. I think he's got more natural ability. You know, he's faster. He throws from different arm angles. You know, every time Brady shits the bed, you can see him drop down into that, like, Bledsoe. Remember when Bledsoe used to drop his arm down? Jesus Christ. It used to be so frustrating. You could see it in his face. I'm not taking anything away from Brady. I mean, I love the guy. He brought us out of the darkness.
Yep.
But Mahomes is pretty special. You know, he's got that no-look throw, you know, speed.
I'm not sure how Tampa and how Kansas City assembled such in the day and age of the salary cap or whatever, you know, like, how do they assemble these teams? How do they have that many weapons? Well,
they got Fournette on waivers. And then KC has McCoy for nothing, I think, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Bell.
Right. How do you get those two guys for nothing?
Because there's somebody in that brass, again, somebody in that meeting room that brings their briefcase to work. They're sitting down, and that's their job, is to go out and find this and analyze and check everything out. And
I think the players definitely, and it was the case in New England for a long time, where you had Brady, you had a culture of winning, and players would take discounts to make the contracts work, knowing that they would be, you know, in a position to potentially win a Super Bowl.
Right.
And I think when you have a bunch of players, and obviously, you know, I mean, we know that that's what happened in New England. There were players that would, you know, be towards the end of their playing their career, and they would, you know, take very little money to come. And that's how you could assemble these teams.
Well, Joe, I'm going to go back to your Jimmy G question. You have always said that New England and Belichick finds a way. They look at the monies. They figure it out. Well, why not get a Jimmy G and that college guy and say, listen, can it be worse than what we went through this year?
So, you know, Jimmy, I can see them Jim, doing why it. Why would Jimmy G come here if he's under contract for $1 billion and New England wouldn't be willing to pay him $1 billion? Because why would you pay a guy $1 billion that's proven that he can't stay healthy?
They're going to work out a contract.
Fucking hard on. Everybody's got a fucking hard on for Jimmy G because he played good in a couple of games. You know.
I don't.
Huh?
I wouldn't pay him that money.
I wouldn't either. I think
they'll work out a deal. That's what I'm just saying.
Why? Why would he leave? Why would he take less money to come to New England?
Because Carson Wentz wants to come here.
What?
Wentz.
No. No, but why would Jimmy G under contract making, I don't know, is he making $25 million, $22 million, come to play for New England for less than that? And especially knowing that there are no weapons, the team is in disarray, you're going to lose Josh McDaniels this year, 99%, right? Like, who, we are the inverse of where we were 6 years ago. Like, people are fleeing. Look at how many players opted out with the COVID stuff. We are in the inverse of people coming here and taking discounts. You're going to have to pay people more money to come here. And that's not the picture. I
ask you, if nobody opted out on the defense and they spent the money on two wide receivers, which they obviously didn't, who the hell was Harry? You know, I mean, they didn't spend any of the money. You know, would the Patriots have made the playoffs? Yeah, you know, they lost three games by what? One score on the 3 yard line.
Yeah, the fumble, Cam fumbled and stuff like that. Yeah, maybe they would have made the playoffs.
Huffed, Cam fumbled, you know.
I was a Cam supporter. I was all about Cam being here. But the last three or four games, watching him try to throw the ball.
Oh yeah, his arms junk.
Absolutely painful, and I mean, I like You know something? I really respect that guy for not getting into the mud and playing and saying all the right things and everything else and taking the discount and coming here. You couldn't ask for a nicer, you know, role model guy. But all that being said, he has no touch. Like, a guy's cutting across the middle and there's no one within 5 yards of him, and he's throwing the ball a million miles an hour when he could just lob it to the guy and make it an easy catch. Right. And then
it's just round.
Yeah, it throw it into the ground way over the guy. No touch at all. No touch at all. I don't know.
Hey, as of this podcast, we've lost two coaches besides the teams that have their openings. But, you know, Jacksonville and the Jets. Well, Jets. They did it last night, 30 seconds after the game. But
I'm surprised Romeo Crennel's not getting fired.
Well, that's what they're saying. That's what they're saying, that Josh McDaniels is rumored to go.
Oh, I didn't hear that, but I think the Texans should have definitely been in the playoffs. I mean, they had their chance yesterday, but you know, it's shocking to me that they don't have a better record than they do.
I would agree. I would definitely agree.
But they couldn't have got in. They could have kept Tennessee from getting in. They could have.
They fired their coach like halfway through the season, that Bill O'Brien. I mean, the team was in disarray. You had J.J. Watt. Wasn't he calling for the coach to be fired? And like, there was a lot of animosity in the locker room and stuff like that. I mean,
what was offensive coach or something?
No. Bill O'Brien was the head coach.
Yeah, the head coach. And Romeo was the intern.
Oh, all right.
He's the intern. Why they technically say Houston's open. Because anybody that has the intern, like Detroit, technically they're saying that's open because he's an interim coach. And I think Atlanta is the other one. So we got three that technically are open because they just had somebody fill out the season.
Right.
Did you see Dalton got his hand stepped on and he was like playing with a bloody glove?
Oh, I didn't see that. No, I didn't see that.
Reminded me of Schilling.
Schilling, yeah.
The bloody sock.
Oh my God. Yeah.
He was running downfield and he went to do a slide, and the guy who was chasing him literally stepped right on his left hand.
Oh.
And then they zoomed in on the glove and there was blood coming out of it. Pretty gutsy.
Yeah. Yeah, they got issues. Oh yeah, Peterson got fired, right? They're saying that Peterson's probably gonna get fired.
Oh, after last night, yeah.
Dallas is just a lemon. It's like buying a shitty car. Like they can't.
Every year at the beginning of the year, Jimmy, how many times have I said this? Jimmy, how many years have I said, I don't care if Dallas comes out winning 7 games in a row, they're going to shit the bed. They can't do it. They are. If you gave me, there's 10 teams, you know, which one are you the least worried about? They all have equal records going into the playoffs. I'm always going to say Dallas. And every year, this is my belief. This is my theory. My theory is Jerry Jones spent an ungodly amount of money to build that stadium in Arlington.
Right.
And it was like a mecca, and it was they are beholden to Jerry Jones for some reason to blow smoke up his ass and to like, because they call it America's team, you know, Dallas is America's team, and they want to like continue it like that to perpetuate that they are a threat. Every single beginning of the season, they pick Dallas as the winner of the NFC East every season.
They couldn't even manage 7-9 to win the division.
That was probably the worst division
ever
in all of sports. This particular season, the NFC East was the absolute. Was it NFC East or NFC South? What is that?
East. It was the East.
Yeah, the worst. The worst. Oh, yeah. Can you imagine like teams that had way better records that don't get in for this shit bum team that Washington's going to go in, because just absolutely brutal.
Yeah.
Hey, Cleveland had the longest drought of not making the playoffs, by the way.
Was it 21 years or something like that?
02. So I think
yeah, that's... 02. You know, again, like they said last night, congratulations to Cleveland. I'm glad you're in, but enjoy it while you can.
Hey, you know, I mean, at least they got something to build on.
Yep.
You know, they got Baker Mayfield. And, that, you know, back to Dallas when they had Prescott and Elliott, you know, everyone figured that they were going to probably be like KC, and then Mahomes came out after that, you know, because they were a pretty serious 1-2 punch straight out of college.
You know? Dallas had that rookie, I think it's CeCe Lamb. This kid they brought in, and everybody was so high on this kid, and he's got tremendous speed and everything, and then they just can't throw the ball to him. And just so, you know, everything just really went south quick. Dallas is always one that spends a lot of money and puts a lot of eggs in a basket, but the damn basket can't hold the eggs. And that's the problem.
Good one. That was a good one, Jim. Hey, did anybody see the end of the Philadelphia game, the Giants?
Yep, I did.
Did you see the guy drop the ball?
Yeah.
And that would have been the difference, right? The Giants would have been going, and it all came down to that play? Or how did it go? Because I just saw someone tweeted a picture of the guy dropping the ball, and for a sure touchdown that would have won the game.
What happened was he broke away and was wide open, and it was not the best pass. But the guy didn't work very hard to – he was all alone, and all he had to do was hang on to that pass, and it was like thrown behind him a little bit. So he didn't really make the big effort to go behind him to go catch it. And that's why
it was in his hands. It dropped in his hands, Jim. I saw that. I mean, he didn't. Well, was it in his hands or not?
I thought it was too low. But he should have caught it. You're right. He's getting paid to catch it.
He's getting paid to catch it is right. Yeah, I know. There you go.
Well, I went sideways.
You went sideways on me. There you go. Jimmy's in the middle now. Jimmy, not wow, look at that. We don't get half of Jimmy's face now. We get the whole face.
No way.
Very nice. Very nice.
Do you see me?
Yeah, you look great. It's actually that's the best picture we've gotten out of the Dal Piaz camp right there. That's the best
picture. So you see me. Yeah, there we go.
Yep, for sure.
Thank you, Eric.
Hey, you moved up to position number two.
Yep. Where's lunch today, boys?
I just stuffed down that steak dip.
This would be Eric. If you didn't stuff that down and a certain place was open, where would we go? Where would we be going for lunch today?
I don't know. We had a good lunch at the farm last time we went.
No. Think back.
The can.
No. Think if it was open.
Halibut.
Years. Dig. that was the right. That was the answer. One of my first days off after the whole season, and it'd be like one of these random weekday Mondays or Tuesdays. The halibut point for one of those buffalo cheese sandwiches with the blue cheese kind of dripping down.
The scala bread, oysters, 3 Guinness.
5,000 peanut shells on the ground. All peanut shells all over you.
I know. I guess, I don't know. I hope whoever opens that up keeps it kind of the same, you know. I don't know. I had heard that Tono was going to buy it, but obviously not.
It wasn't going to be the owner of Tono. It might have been.
Right.
Might have been someone else, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that didn't work out. Yeah, no. I don't know what's going to happen in that space, but that is a special. I hope. Yeah, I mean, wouldn't it be a shame if all that woodwork that's in there and the bar that's in there for like whoever opens it, please don't do anything differently.
It's the best setup. It's the best setup of any restaurant I've ever.
right? Don't do one single thing differently. Like
you could varnish the floor.
Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know, but it kind of gives it that feel, right? That you got that saloon like feel, that old school.
A couple of new bar stools wouldn't hurt.
But yeah,
you're right. That system they have is very good. But well, you know, Dennis is super fussy when it comes to his product. You know, I mean, I was never a huge fan of oysters, and still we started getting those Pemaquid Maine oysters that he had every day, like the Damariscottas.
Worth every penny. Worth every penny.
Yeah, people are like, I'm not paying $3 for an oyster. I'm like, they cost $1.10.
Yeah.
I mean, they do. They cost $1.10 just to bring them through the door.
What's the secret? Here's a question for you. So we don't, every Christmas Eve, my sister gets a bunch of either, you know, top necks or little necks. And we got to open them to do the big stuff clams. What is there a secret? Because they're so hard to open. What, like, is there a secret to get those things open without jamming yourself with, when you're trying to get the little crease there?
Do you use a clam knife or an oyster knife?
You know something? I was using a, you know, the one that has the little bend at the very end.
Oh, that's the wrong knife for that. They sell a clam knife that's wicked thin. It's razor thin.
Oh.
And you hold the clam against the heel of your hand.
Yeah.
Use your fingers on your left hand, put the blade right in the crease, and then you push it in with like your index finger, index, middle, and ring finger. You push the knife using one motion with your left hand.
Interesting.
And then you can work the clam knife in, and it'll just open right up.
See, I'm from New York. We hire somebody to do it, and then we eat it.
The way we end up doing it is we get like a heavy chef's knife, and we put the clam like flat, and we try to get that seam, and just bang it down through.
That sounds terrible.
It's terrible. It's if they weren't so damn good, I would tell her to screw. But they're like my favorite thing to eat. So
yeah. They have clam knives at Nelson's.
So don't soak them in water.
Nope.
Put a little salt in there. There's no secret. Not cold water, no hot water. Put them in the fridge too. Nothing.
You actually don't want to put those in fresh water because they'll ingest it, and then that'll push some of the seawater out.
Oh, so they'll be less briny, less tasty. Right.
Yeah. I've seen people try to steam them too, like real quick, you know, just to try to loosen them up. Doesn't work either. You know, because then basically you've got you lost all the juice from it. You know, it depends on what you're stuffing. Some people grind the clams up or rough chop them and then mix it with the bread and then stuff it back in. Those are good. Those are good. I like.
Well, if you get the big clams, I think that's necessary. But if you get the ones that are like, you know, that big.
Yeah.
I don't know if those are top necks. I don't know the sizes. What's bigger, a top neck or a little neck?
They're about the same, but I think a top neck's bigger.
A little bit bigger. I think that's the perfect size.
Yeah.
What things? Give me three dishes at Passports that people wouldn't know about that they need to try, and three dishes at Machaca that people may not know about but they need to try.
Well, I'll just go off of what we've been selling a lot of lately. Both places have been moving some really outrageous yellowfin tuna. So we do a tuna stir fry that a lot of people don't know about. It's usually on our specials. We just leave it on there every day. But people that are in the know will order it over salads, you know, and stuff like that. And the tuna has been exceptional lately. Kind of a winter thing. Our meatloaf tower is a beast. It'll take you out. We've had that.
Take you out. Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of people we've been selling more curry than lately. We sell a red curry that's pretty spicy. And for people that may not know, people in India that, you know, I mean, they have the, it's like the poorest country in the world, right? You know, they have the lowest cancer rate, or one of the lowest cancer rates. And a lot of people attribute to the curry that they eat.
Well,
whether it's red, yellow, you know, whatever it is. But it's, you know, it's good stuff. You know, it's spicy. You clean your nostrils right out. And that's one of the keys to not catching colds.
Ah,
you know, my stepdad used to make me drink cayenne, red pepper, and garlic every winter.
Oh,
you know, yeah, it was rough. But, you know, if you had like, if you caught it like the first hint of a cold, he'd make you drink the medicine. And 90% of the time, it'd be gone the next day.
There you go.
Hey, we drink the medicine, but that's not what we drink.
Different kind of medicine. All right, Machaca, give me the Machaca rundown.
What did I have the other day? I had steak fajita tacos. I felt like cheese and flour tortilla, you know, kind of like a quesadilla. Wicked good. The habanero burn your face off, though. Careful. Like when Luis says that he was crying, you should go for the chipotle.
All right, good to know.
It was that hot, and seriously, it was 30 seconds, you know, on a quarter forkful, I'm dying. Let me see. That talpeño chicken soup, chicken and avocado and serrano soup, one of my favorites this time of year. The pozole, always good. And I don't know. There's a lot of good stuff down there.
Yeah. What's your favorite tequila? What's your favorite value tequila? If you go into Machaca and you're not knowledgeable about tequila, you don't want to spend $30 on a shot. Like what is a good value tequila?
When I've bartended there, which isn't often, but when I do, or if people ask me when I'm there, I tell them to just get the house. We use Jimador. El Jimador is 100% blue agave, and it's inexpensive. After that, I go for at home. I drink Espolón.
Espolón.
You know.
And you can get, I mean, can you get that locally?
Oh yeah, every place has it. And the difference between, you know, white reposado and añejo tequilas is pretty significant in all brands. You know, for me, I'll drink Blanco 99% of the time. And every now and then I might try some añejo, like a small amount. but I'm not really a tequila kind of sipper. You know, I like it mixed. You know, or if I'm shooting it, I like white. But there's so many different kinds. And Luis is the expert on tequila.
What do you attribute like the popularity this past like couple of years in tequila? Everybody I know seems to be like ordering tequila like when we go to restaurants and stuff like that.
I don't think it's the last couple of years. It goes all the way back to the 80s. You know, when we first got out of high school, there was the Cuervo craze of the 90s. You know, the late 80s and the 90s, and that was really like hung over like. Your head's gonna hurt the next morning. Tequila, and I'm not sure if it's just the sugar that's in it or whatever. But for me, you know, tequila is an upper. You know, it's not a downer. So I feel like when people go out and they have two or three margaritas and they want to dance, or you know, maybe switch to water for a couple, and then and then go watch music or whatever. You know, you can go the distance on tequila as long as you're not, you know, pounding it.
How is a way, if I had a bad experience with tequila a long time ago and I don't particularly care for tequila, what would be a good way for me to try tequila, you know what I mean, to appreciate tequila if I'm not necessarily a tequila, like in the past I have it in my head that I don't like tequila, like,
yeah. I don't know. You might have trouble drinking straight tequila, but yeah, you know, I mean, you like your bourbon. So I think that if you went, you know, like we have Herradura's whole line, and Herradura's, you know, really good. We have special pricing on on Hemidor, Espolon, and Herradura. And that's just because we focus on those tequilas, buy more, and the more you buy, the less expensive it is.
Right.
But Herradura in the, you know, in the Reposado and the Añejo, you know, almost has a bourbon flavor. You know, the Añejo is really pretty dark. You know, if you put it in a glass up next to bourbon, you'd have trouble, you know, saying which was which from
really
without without smelling it
because of the smokiness.
Yeah, I mean, and it's smooth. You know, it as they age it, like any booze, you know, it gets smoother.
Hi, so maybe, Joey, I do a taste test and try that.
Of course you would, Jim. I would say fucking snake piss, and you would say I would try.
Come on.
I can work that out. Maybe we could do it.
I think we're gonna have to. This winter we're gonna have to try it, Jimmy. We're gonna have to try a tequila tasting.
I would do that with the bourbon, and you know, like a side by side, a bourbon and tequila. He's talking about.
No,
a taste. Joey, no. I didn't say that we go out and, you know.
No. I like if I'm comparing tequilas, I want to compare it against other tequilas. So that way, there I have something to go by, because I thought that when we did the bourbon tasting, was very very helpful for me. Like I kept going back to the same ones and actually avoiding other ones based on the characteristics. Yeah. So I want to like mix a bunch of different stuff up, and then like I really don't have a reference point.
Is that a okay. Liverpool? Is that a Liverpool hat you got on, Joe?
No, that is.
It's lobster.
Can you see it?
Yeah.
Lobster Trap Gifts. That's Enza and Greg Iacono's Lobster Trap Gifts Company. Thing there. Jimmy, look where that is, Jimmy. Jimmy, tune me up this for.
Yeah, but show how much is left.
Not too much.
Okay.
You can't drink all day unless you start early.
I'm not drinking it right now, no. Oh my God Almighty! Yeah, we're gonna have to set. We're gonna have to set that. You know, maybe we'll bring back an old school homie cast. We'll get DeWolf. We'll try to get Rick Dowsett back, and we'll try to do a old school because I know and Codair, Jimmy Dalpiaz, and we'll try to we'll do a. Everybody bring a bottle of tequila. We'll do blind tasting, and we'll do it live. That'll be fun. Yeah. Okay. Are there any slow nights at Machaca? And is that there's good Wi-Fi that we could do it from there?
Well, we're closed Mondays.
Oh, so a Monday night we could do it.
Yeah.
All right. We'll figure out a Monday night. And we'll do it then.
Joey, I'd rather have Eric bring the tequilas. I trust him enough, and then we try it that way. Then everyone bring theirs. Because I wouldn't know what to bring, because I'm obviously not a big star of it. So,
well, if we have it at Machaca, we'll just charge you guys $250 a piece.
I thought it was very generous of Jim to suggest that we do it at to do that. Yeah.
No, we can work it out. We can work it out.
Great. By the way, when I just said that, Pat ran out the door and slammed it. So,
Eric, guess who's been in the comments? You may. I'm curious if you remember Byron that used to work for us, Honduran kid.
Oh, yeah, man.
Do you remember Byron? He's on here right now. He's down in New Orleans. He's a captain of like 200 ton cargo ship. He's elevated himself to captain of a like merchant marine ship, like fuel. Yeah,
he was a good kid. Hey, you know who I saw the other day was tonight, Racista.
Oh, you saw Rudy.
Yeah, Rudy. Yeah, he was walking. He was walking downtown on Christmas Day. I was going down to get some potatoes and stuff for dinner.
Yeah.
I almost invited him over, and then I was like, nah. So
Rudy gets a little wild when he starts drinking. Byron says, Eric looks like he hasn't aged a day.
These glasses.
His glasses. It's funny. I see
pictures. Bless you, Byron.
Yeah. Honest to God, I think out of – I've had some good workers, but Byron, I would put up near the top of the list, honestly. And I'm not just saying that because you thought, what?
Remember how many stripers we used to catch down there?
Yeah, stripers. But he was just a pleasant guy. He would be a person that I would say makes his nationality shine. Like as a representative, he's a Honduran guy. And as a representative of the Honduran community, like a gentleman, like when he would get his paycheck, he would say thank you and showed up for work every day. Just a classy, classy guy. I'm like, out of all the people that worked for us, I think I'm more proud of the man that he became. Like he just, you could, like, it had nothing to do with us. He was self-motivated and he made it. He has a big family now and just great, great guy.
So, hey, I'm loving what Craig wrote, by the way.
Let's get the band back together, bitches.
I'm right there, Craig.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll be the roadie. Hey, I gotta actually do something.
Yeah, no, I was just gonna say, let's wrap it up. Hey, Eric, thanks for coming on. Jimmy, thanks for coming on too.
Nice to see you, Eric. Yeah, you too. Hey, come down tomorrow for a steak dip.
Oh, Jesus. Tomorrow at Passports?
Yeah, do you see that picture?
I haven't seen it. Send it to me. I'll post it on the blog.
Steak tip sandwich?
Yeah. Text me a picture and I'll put it on the blog.
All right. Well, you come tomorrow and then you can put it on. You take better photos than me.
I'll make that happen.
Right. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
I'll see you, buddy. All right. I'm going to do the – Jimmy, I'm not going to forget to do the outro right here. Watch this. Wait, no, we're back. Jimmy, you got to do it. Hold on, I'm going to make you big. Ready? Are you ready to do what you know you got to do? Go ahead, Jimmy. Give it to me, baby. Oh, he left. All right, it's just me. I'm going to leave you with this.